This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
But Amir's looking for acorns at the end of the day.
If you live 500 meters above sea level, and you live in a wood barn, and you have tiny feces and big old cheeks, if you have glasses on and are Jewish, and you sometimes live in a tree, if you have tiny feces and big old cheeks,
a little woodland creature out there.
That's correct.
That can think and talk and hope and dream like the rest of us.
Are you guys ticklish?
Wow. What genre of music is that?
Trap.
Really?
Yeah.
Sean, you go to festivals.
It's trap house for sure.
That's house. Trap house?
Yep.
Wait, there's trap, and then there's house, and then there's trap house. There's three different ones.
All of them.
Does that track for you? Like, if you never listen to our podcast, might you be at, like, Outside Lands and hear that and be like,
This is cool.
I like it.
I love concerts more than anything.
Yeah.
I would run away from that as fast as I could.
So you could get home and download it?
Yeah.
To MP3, get on LimeWire ASAP, put it on your mini disc.
I have to Napster that whole album.
Put up your Shazams. It's not coming up. That was written and directed by Doug. It was actually a conversation between us and Ben. Where Ben was doing it, "You Might Be a Chipmunk If Bit," mm-hmm. He turned it into a trap house song, I guess. Our guest today is Sean Jost. You guys probably don't know who he is.
But if you listen to this podcast, you might, because we sang his praises.
That's right.
a year ago?
About a year ago, we met Sean in Hawaii, and then we spent a magical weekend together.
We had a tryst.
Yeah, we had a tryst. Correct me if I'm wrong, you didn't know who we were before we met.
No.
So
I didn't.
Let's try.
My friend did though.
Okay, so let's try to reminisce for a second and figure out our origin story. We're in Hawaii for a show.
We went to
Tropics.
Was it Tropics? We were in an Uber and we asked where people go to party.
Yeah. We said it like that. We said it like European tourists. Like,
where do we go to party?
Where do we go to make party? And he dropped us off at Tropics. As a Hawaiian transplant, can you describe Tropics for us mainlanders who don't understand?
There are bars that happen about once a night on the weekdays. Thursday nights is Tropics.
Oh, so the island is small enough where every day has a bar associated.
Yeah, and that's about it.
So, okay, so Thursday is Tropics.
Thursday is Tropics, but it's also college night.
Okay.
Which is mainly underage night.
Got it. So, like, 21 and under night, basically.
Yes, pretty much.
And at Tropics, they're a little bit looser with the ID checking. Is that what happens?
They didn't card me, and I don't know if it was because I look 32 or...
Oh. your calves are really rashy.
Yeah.
Is that an eczema or something?
And I have a bald spot.
Everywhere.
On my sideburn.
So we're at Tropics. We're having fun. You're there because it's a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's college night, after all. We run into a buddy of yours, or a buddy of yours sees us.
My buddy AJ says, "That's Jake and Amir over there." I said, "I don't know who that is."
Okay.
He said they used to make videos for College Humor. I was like, "Cool." He's like, "I can't go talk to him." I was like, "Well, I'll go say hi to them."
That's nice.
So walked up, started talking to you, beautiful gentleman.
Uh huh. And we hit it off. We clicked. You were talking about what you do, how you're sort of a travel bug. You know a lot of hikes on the island. We eventually committed to going on a hike with you the following day.
Mistake for Jake, for sure.
Oh, yeah, I hurt my foot.
Yeah, which still hurts.
Yeah, it still hurts. But I honestly, I wouldn't take it back. I don't think I'd take it back.
What, did we go to the beach and eat tacos before or after?
It was after because I remember my foot.
So that the next day we went on a hike, Jake hurt himself. It was kind of a treacherous hike.
You're glossing over that evening after the hike. We went to, we partied. Was that the night of the show?
No,
Saturday was the night of the show.
we can't remember.
Did we party two nights?
We don't. Yeah, we did. Because there was the one night that we went out.
We went to Rumfire.
Yes. Yeah.
That's right.
Because it was Friday, and that's the Friday.
That's the Friday spot.
And that was when we pre-gamed with Miguel and Ebony.
Yes.
Of course. You guys know
how
Miguel
could you forget?
And Ebony,
right?
This is an inside joke for Sean. This podcast is only for Sean's friends.
Yeah.
So anyway, then we're hanging out with Miguel. Ebony's there, of course.
Sean's like a Make-A-Wish kid, and we're just giving him his own podcast to take to his friends.
This is Make-A-Wish for us.
Yeah.
I just love reminiscing on Hawaii. But so we had a lot of fun that night. The next day, Sean took us to a secret beach.
Just the three of us.
We basically had an awesome romantic weekend, but it was just three dudes hanging out.
Yeah. It was Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Have you ever done that with like a lady that you met, like had an amazing romantic weekend away, or did you save that just for Jake and I?
Just for you guys.
Got it.
Just for you guys.
So this wasn't like a classic Sean move that you do on everybody that visits
Never. I stay away from
scratching
the
girl. Him.
And the things that you texted me, do you also text that to other buddies? Does Miguel get?
Am I just
text?
One of your playthings, Sean? And you'll get bored of me and throw me out like the others?
Because I saw Sean and Frank carved onto a tree at the secret beach. I don't know if you noticed that. But since then, I guess you've been listening to the podcast and you feel like we've been hanging.
I have.
So that was good marketing for us. The show didn't go well in Hawaii, but at the very least, we made a podcast listener.
We should spend a weekend with lots of random people.
Yeah, and if we do that millions of times over, we'll have the most popular show on the internet.
As long as they use our coupon codes. Sean?
Where's my MeUndies, by the way? I'm still waiting on those.
Oh, all the converts just expect free stuff from us.
I see.
We're in the hole.
But let's get into it. This is an advice show. It's an advice podcast, the only one on the internet, hosted by me and Jake, sometimes just us, sometimes we have a friend. Today we have Sean Jost, SEANJOST. Midwesterner turned Hawaiian turned. Now you're in San Francisco.
Correct.
Okay, I'm just trying to put the context so people understand when you start giving advice where that's coming from.
What's your Instagram? That's how people know who you are.
My name is Sean_voyage1. Sean Voyage.
Sean Voyage.
One.
Yeah.
Why one though? Sean Voyage.
Because somebody else
stole
it.
Someone stole it.
Somebody else had the same bright idea.
But yours is one, not
so,
two. Yeah, one is technically the second one.
It's true.
Yeah. Sean Voyage, one. All right, so here's one. Here's a question for us that comes from some guy named, and then Sean, you give him a fake name. It's a man.
Let's go Brennan.
That's cool.
Bosworth.
Yeah.
I love that.
BB.
You're a natural. So it's summer, writes Brennan Bosworth, and there's this bar crawl on local beach bars. Sean, you get it so far, right?
I know why you chose this question.
Everyone's drinking and having a good time, and supposedly I take my buddy's sunglasses from his head and wear them in a bar while we're hanging out. And we're all pretty tipsy at this point, but still having a good time. This is around 8 or 9 p.m. At some point, we split off and we go our separate paths, and around 11 or midnight, he starts calling me and texting me, asking me where his sunglasses are. I'm dancing and hanging out with a girl, so I don't answer immediately. Turns out I lost the sunglasses. And as the bars are closing, I answer one of his calls, and due to the noise, I barely make out that the sunglasses cost $40. I backtrack to the bars I went to, and I couldn't find the glasses, so I Venmo him $40 to pay for what I lost. Here's the goddamn twist. Turns out the mother-fudging sunglasses weren't $40. They were $140. Should I pay the full $140 or only pay what I think is fair based on the fact that no one should pay that much for sunglasses?
Oh, God.
And even if they do, they shouldn't allow people to easily have free reign with them. Hindsight, forget the options. If your friend lent you an incredibly pricey item and you lost them, what would you do? Thanks and best regards, Brennan Bosworth. P.S. I'm still drunk and this happened 2 hours ago. I don't want to pay $140.
Well, it'll only be another 100 now.
Yeah, he's already in the hole.
Sean, what would you do?
You're a sunglasses guy.
My sunglasses cost $10.
Yeah,
tops. Because I keep losing the expensive ones.
That happens a lot to people, right? It's like sunglasses are seemingly disposable.
They're so easy to lose.
Why?
I've only lost a pair of sunglasses once in my entire life.
How is that possible?
I'm just the man.
Yeah, again, they're flaking a lot onto the floor. Try not to move as much. Your thighs are really dry. It's spreading or something. Your
thighs are dry, armpits are wet.
I see you're keeping...
Sopping on the top, dry, arid on the bottom.
You know how like some people keep sunglasses like on the V-neck of their collar? Mm-hmm. Jake does that on a skin flap on his knee. Mm-hmm.
So I have a little kangaroo pouch.
That's made out of a dry skin layer.
This is for my Ray-Bans.
See, I have prescription sunglasses, so I can't lose them. But at the same time, I don't like bringing them around very often.
And no one wants to wear those.
Nobody wants to wear my specific. Exactly. You're a beach going kind of guy, feller. You got lots of sunglasses. Where are you losing them? You're just setting them down and walking away?
The jumping in the water a lot, going swimming with them.
That's cool. Yeah, I would never do that.
Leaving them at a party.
Yeah, I wouldn't go to parties either. That's why.
You wouldn't go to parties?
Yeah, I wouldn't go to parties or jump in water. It sounds pretty dangerous, actually.
It's risky.
Going to parties isn't dangerous.
It's risky.
And then, like, sometimes you're at, like, a beach, and then, like, it's, like, sunny, and then you're still out, and you go out that night, and then, like, you forget your sunglasses because it's dark.
That's key.
Yeah, like, I don't do that. Like,
that's an easy time.
I would always go home.
You know what helps is having a significant other that carries a bag. Jill has a little bag. So, like, if we go out and it's, like, it's bright, got my sunglasses, and now it's dark, I don't need them. I put them in the bag.
And I send Jill home.
Yeah.
And she puts my sunglasses
under
where
lock
I need
and
them
key.
What I have now, you need the string. You need the croaky string.
Oh,
just
that's
put them around
cool.
your neck. Can't lose them.
Yeah.
It's a real dad move.
But dads are
but
cool now.
Yeah.
Like, hoodie.
Dad
have you gotten,
bods,
have you
dad
into,
sunglasses.
Have you gotten into fanny packs yet?
I do have a fanny pack.
See, I think dad stuff is now starting to become cool
did I
again.
Tell you I also have a fanny pack?
Really?
I bought a fanny pack, yeah.
Wow, it's happening.
I took it to New York with me. It's great.
Oh, it is so great.
It's
the,
so
the
nice.
Only bad thing is that how they used to look. That's why people didn't like wearing them anymore. But as cooler people start wearing them, that stigma is lifted, and you can wear the fanny pack again.
Yeah, fanny packs are in. They're all over the place at Urban Outfitters and the like.
What about like a Euro man bag? So it's like a fanny pack that goes over your shoulder. I've seen LeBron.
Then I think
wear
you're
that.
Just a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Pretty sure like you're those, just a drug dealer then.
That's just like I like the function of a fanny pack, hands free. I don't want to walk around with a shoulder bag. Mm. That makes me feel encumbered.
Does it get a little sweaty where the strap is and then where the flap is on your gut?
Just have to keep moving it. Just keep moving it
you
side
ever
to
do
side.
The across the shoulder move?
I've never done it. I've seen it though.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to try it.
Yeah. I practiced it. It was cool.
Was it?
Yeah, it eliminated just about all of the function of the fanny pack because every time I needed something from it, I had to like move it or take it off.
Yeah.
And if you unzip it, it's just going to fall out.
Mhm. Yeah. It was not that useful, but it looked cool in a photo.
Where did
that
you,
someone took?
Where did you fanny? Did you do fanny in the front or fanny in the back?
In the front.
Kept it in the front like a little kangaroo pouch.
Yeah. It was when I was in Fire Island, and there was a huge crowd of people. So I was keeping my shit tight.
I'm more of a side fanny.
Oh yeah, like right there on the hip.
Yep.
Like where cowboys used to keep their revolvers.
I was like, I was front side, like kind of where my pocket would be.
Oh, I see. So Sean's on the side, and now you're going front side.
Well,
but when I ask you, you say front, right? But Sean's on the side.
The
mine's actually kind of towards the front. Kind of on the side now.
I'm changing my Instagram to Jake Voyage.
One.
Fucking one.
How's that for
you?
Cool?
You could probably have the first one. There's no Jake Voyage.
It's not a pun anymore if you do that.
Hashtag side fanny. Me and Sean are starting a trend.
Me and Sean are twins. How's that?
You're a fucking loser.
And you lost your friggin' sunglasses.
Welcome to Jake and Sean's podcast.
No! Would you wear a fanny on a normal day, or did you have to like first dip your toes in it on like a festival environment?
I would wear it on like I like the idea of it for when it's hot, one, and two, like when you're traveling. Like at that festival day, we had like moved from my friend's beach house, like got on a ferry, went to this like crazy party, and then I like had to take the ferry back into a car. You know, just like
Well, why is that better for a fanny?
What does this fanny look like?
It's it was a just like a black Patagonia fanny. Oh. Unless yours is colorful.
Classy.
Mine was purple. Mine was a pink JanSport.
But I think it feels good to like move, to like be able to walk swiftly and not like, you know, have your hand hit your cell phone, your keys, and your wallet in your pocket.
Yeah.
Like having nothing in your pockets just feels good.
Yeah, but that's why I feel like you can, if you don't mind the fanniness of it all, you can do that every day.
All the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you could.
Sean?
I mean, I live in San Francisco, so a fanny pack is pretty normal there.
Oh, really?
You can do it every day.
Really?
Do you do it every day?
No. Absolutely not.
I would never.
Do some people do that? Are you just walking down the street?
Oh, yeah.
Fanny. I kind of like the fact that it's pocket clean. Because, like, you know, tight pants get stretched out with phone, wallet, keys. That's
I kind of actually can't imagine wearing it with pants. I only picture it with shorts.
Sean?
Same.
Good man.
God, I'm sweating. I hate staying in shape first before Sean says it.
What if he disagrees?
Because I might have to retcon.
All right, so what is this guy doing with this guy's sunglasses?
I mean, this is insane.
Do you owe him the full fare?
Yes, you owe him the full fare, you drunk asshole. You lost his sunglasses.
Yeah, but he didn't know there were 140.
They weren't
man.
Given to him either. He yeah. took them, he said.
Why doesn't he share the responsibility? 70 on me and 70 on your dumbass for giving them to me.
In the first place. You shouldn't yeah. be giving them to me, your biggest asshole friend.
You know I'm down to lose them and not pay you back. Have you ever lost somebody else's sunglasses?
No, but I have had a friend lose mine.
Wow, and?
Paid.
Wow.
The full 10?
Yeah, exactly.
Or just the 5 spot that he thinks they're worth.
We had to split it. We're not friends anymore, though.
He just paid you back for half the lenses. Do you think there's something to the idea that if you bought a 200 pair of sunglasses, you wouldn't lose them?
No.
You would still
I would
be
guarantee
just
I would lose them at some point.
Still be
or scratch
cavalier.
Them.
Got it.
Do you have They'd be worthless.
Do you have a favorite pair that you've lost?
Some Oakleys.
You'll never get those back.
Never. They're they in the bottom of a lake in Minnesota. They were real Oakleys then. That's what made me stop buying them.
Oakleys are probably going to come back too. I mean, everything that I think is
yeah, this was
uncool.
This was 2009 probably.
I'm going to make a prediction of something that's not going to come back. Skechers.
Really?
Yeah.
Ever.
Those are like peak 90s. Those should be back.
When were they popular and why? Yeah. They were ugly then, and they're really ugly now.
Yeah. Wasn't it like 1997 or something?
Although, like, you look at Yeezys now, and they're kind of trending towards, like, nurse shoes like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, the style, but just never the brand.
Oh, I see. Skechers.
I don't think they're comfortable either. There's no way.
What about the Skechers that are
around? There's some Nikes that look, that have that kind of, like, basket.
The butt lifting?
Yeah.
It's good for your calves. All right, another question?
Yeah, but actually, first I want to talk about, because we touched on it. You said prescription glasses.
Yeah,
and you were talking about doing LASIK.
That's right. I'm still considering it, trending towards doing it, but still like at like the 20% to 30% sure mark.
Oh, that's kind of
so
low.
I'm taking a slow walk across the football field, and then when I get into the end zone, I'll get LASIK. But I'm still like in no rush to do it.
What are the I guess, like, what are the factors for you here?
The actual lasers of it all. Like, I want to avoid having the lasers. And then two, whether or not I'll wear glasses going forward.
And that's it? Those
yeah,
are the two?
Yeah, the lasers and then the whether I wear glasses or not.
So one is just, like, a fear of the actual procedure.
Yeah,
and the other is sort of like a self-image thing.
Yeah.
And what are the factors that make you want to do it?
Being able to wake up for the first time in like 25 years and see clearly. Yeah.
That sounds pretty nice.
Yeah. That definitely like,
and then
trust
in
the
glasses
two.
Thing, I mean, you can wear glasses.
That's
you can
right.
still have
that's
that a, image.
Yeah,
I'm actually thinking about buying some glasses.
Just to have.
Just
to
But
Marty did that. Marty's wearing glasses occasionally now just to like have as like a, you know.
I thought he was doing that for like his computer screen.
He also is trying Warby's actual just like glasses.
Cool. And I think you should talk to some people that got LASIK because the lasers scared me too.
Yeah.
And then after they did the first one, I was like giggling to myself at how unscary it was.
How long did it take?
The whole entire thing.
4 days. But something went wrong.
The procedure itself was probably like 15 minutes, if that, maybe even 10 minutes.
That's amazing.
And then it was like, it was a day of recovery.
Yeah, it's very easy. I also don't know if, I mean, I'll have to go in and get like the pre-check and everything like that. But like I said, all right, I'll put myself on the 35-yard line.
Nice.
moving me along slowly. All right, here's a question. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional-looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's
nah.
It's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay, yeah. I wouldn't. But so it's fitness,
more of a fitnessnah.com
Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low, low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
Amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Bark box.
It came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn, and I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. Congrats. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most saving of it yours. The average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rocket Money. That's from another dude based on a conversation we were having the other day about foreskins. Do you have a guy who would ask a question about foreskins?
Kyle.
Oh, yeah, that's classic.
This sounds like your name.
Kyle.
Spelled two different ways. Kyle writes, I'm a 22-year-old man that has now been sexually active for around 5 years. I've recently been with a girl who asked me if I was circumcised after we had seized the cheese. I found it odd that she would ask me that and quickly responded with a simple no. She seemed surprised by my answer, as was I with her reaction. I never thought about this issue until now. I had noticed before that I don't have much of a foreskin to work with when I'm tugging the little guy, but I only thought that was what I was made with to work with since my birth. But now that she mentioned it, I do have my doubts, and I can't quite know for sure simply by comparing myself to pictures or videos online. I'm hesitant to ask my parents as it's going to be an extremely awkward question, but I'm starting to think that the only way I'm going to be able to know for sure is by asking them. What would you guys do in my situation? Should I simply live my life without knowing for sure if I was ever mutilated down below as a newborn? Should I ask my parents how and how should I bring it up, if so? Or is there another option I'm not taking into consideration here? Was this ever an issue with you guys? As to whether or not you were cut below the waist, seeing as you are both Jews? Love, Kyle, Kyle. So this guy doesn't even know if he's been circumcised.
John, this
is shocking.
Curious looks during that.
I think he needs to work on his relationship with his parents first.
Yeah, don't worry about your relationship with your foreskin. Worry about your relationship with your
dad. You can't
dad.
Talk to them
about your dick.
How do you not know?
Sean, are you free and open enough to discuss your dick status?
Yeah, sure.
And?
Uncircumcised.
For sure, though.
For sure.
Positive?
I asked my dad about it.
Just to verify. Yeah, you have to ask a parent because they're the only ones that have seen your dick when you don't remember it. So, like, I remember my dick from age 6 on. Before that, I got to ask my mommy.
Also, who else has seen your dick? Well, when you're circumcised, you have no foreskin at all.
Right? Sean.
Sean's a nurse.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. You're a nurse as well.
I am.
So, do you ever have to deal with circumcisions? Do you know the anatomical?
No, I don't do any. No,
you don't do that.
No.
Do you know the
stool tester? Right?
I've seen it done before.
What's the deal with foreskins? Do you know anything about them?
What's your question on foreskins?
Medically, why? Evolutionarily, why?
I guess protection.
Protection. Yeah.
Yeah.
From the elements.
We're running around naked.
Yeah.
Just protecting us.
Yeah. And then now it's like, oh, we have pants and technology. We don't need the foreskin. So snip, snip. Occasionally.
Well, you guys decided that.
Yeah, well, I didn't get to decide. My father did it for me.
And the Moyle, drunk with power.
On Gower. Do you think that your mom or dad have seen your dick for a longer time than you have?
No.
No way.
Of bats. Of course not. I'm almost 33.
Yeah, but imagine bats in the years that you were naked.
Yeah, but I've...
When was the last time you looked at your dick?
That's another good question. Maybe you haven't seen your dick.
Huh?
There's no way.
No, I'm saying...
My parents stopped seeing my dick when I was 19. I promise you.
I'm saying there aren't days where you just stare at your dick. So I think your parents...
Speak for yourself.
Your parents might have a huge head start on you because they spent years looking at your little dick.
Why did they spend days looking at your dick?
Yeah. Well, if I'm naked,
I understand
running around,
you now. Now I understand.
Bathing.
You're
being
running
a little,
around... You, I, no, we're not running around naked.
You don't know that.
Yes,
you don't
I
know
do.
Me as a one-year-old, two-year-old.
You're always covering up. You're so demure.
You little prude two-year-old Jew boy being shy for the first time ever. All right, so is there any way to find out without asking your parents? If it's like a half-and-half
If you
half
have
situation?
A foreskin, you're not circumcised.
But then there's like maybe...
Maybe yes. They just took off... Not enough, and
That's
he has like
right.
a quarter of a foreskin.
A one skin or a two
You'd think there'd
skin.
Be a scar.
you ask a doctor.
Oh.
Just go to a doc. Just go to your doc.
So, like, I have a weird question for you. Will you take a look at my dick and tell me if I'm circumcised?
Yeah, I mean, you do need to know.
I'd invite the extended family to dinner and then just announce it there.
Stand up.
Yep.
I have a question for my mom.
You can have a late bris, too.
Like late in the day?
No. Late in life.
A late onset.
Oldest guy to ever have a bris.
I think, what if you jokingly talk to your parents and you're like, I might get a circumcision. Then regardless of how they answer, you'd be like, I'm fucking with you. And they'll be like, why do you want a circumcision?
You already
had one. Or... That's a good idea.
Well, they left a little bit at the bottom.
Don't you think, Mom? Look at this.
Yeah. I mean, if there's anything there.
Also, why does it matter?
It doesn't. I feel like that girl was surprised because maybe she had never been with an uncircumcised guy or something. Or maybe she'd only been with uncircumcised guy. I don't know. Maybe like
she's not scared to ask. Maybe she should ask his parents.
Yeah, that's true.
That's good.
Let's do that.
Like, can you meet my parents? He goes to the bathroom and she's like, really quickly, I wanted to ask you this question.
Yeah, like, why would she ask? That's my question.
Yeah, that's why I think it's like a 50-50 down there.
Like, is she asking because she's confused because she thought he is or because he's not?
I think she was. She looked at it and she's like, "I'm on the fence."
Yeah, you never hear like circumcised or uncircumcised, but you never hear about the half circumcised.
That's what I'm saying. Half of a foreskin is a two skin, and maybe there's this some fucking fetish about it where it's like a mock turtleneck down there. Doesn't there, go all the way.
I mean, from watching porn, there are different size foreskins.
And we you get watch
these,
porn?
We get these questions sometimes where people are talking about like they have an extra long foreskin or they have like a shorter foreskin or their foreskin is too tight for their dick.
Extra long.
Does that ever happen? Have you ever heard of that happening?
Where your dick outgrows your foreskin?
I really only know about my foreskin.
Oh, really?
To be honest.
That makes sense. So you're not just cutting people's foreskins.
No.
Whose job is that, though, in the doctor world?
Just a doctor, I guess.
A barber, I guess.
It's a pretty simple it's a pretty simple procedure, actually.
Oh, you do know
that? They just clamp it down.
Really?
And it rots itself off, right, or something?
No.
You're thinking of LASIK again.
Yeah.
But, like, what do you do? What happens if they clamp it off? They clamp it down.
There's like a safety metal piece that goes. I don't even know how to describe it, to be honest.
It's like putting a
around
bowl,
the head, and then there's another piece that goes on top of that, mm-hmm. so it leaves a very small area to cut, and you just cut around that.
Wow, and it's cauterized, or
and then no, just cut. And then the only thing they use for like anesthetic is just like sucrose for the baby because the baby just starts crying right away. There's no pain relief really at all.
No pain relief.
No, it's pretty bad.
No wonder I have such a high threshold for pain, knowing that I stared the rabbi in the eyes and said, "Do your worst, bitch."
That's why when you spank it, you can spank it so hard. What
the fuck's that supposed to mean?
I just mean you masturbate really intensely.
Okay, but that's it. Don't go any further.
And you do it a lot.
All right, that's quite enough.
And you'll often try to come in the air and catch it in your mouth.
I'm going for distance and height.
Going for distance and style.
All right, hope we helped this guy. Let's take a break, thank some sponsors, and we'll be back with more questions and answers with Sean frickin' Jost Voyage the First. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Oh, yeah.
Jake, there's nobody on the planet like you, so why would you buy a generic mattress built for everyone else?
I appreciate the compliment, bud.
You actually got a Helix mattress.
Yes.
So you know how it works.
I do. I know that my back was all fucked up.
And now
it feels good.
Helix Sleep built a sleep quiz that takes 2 minutes to complete, and they use the answers to match your perfect body type and sleep preference to the perfect mattress.
I completed it, and they did.
And you said that they can do like different for the left and right side of your bed, right?
That's right. Jill's got a softer side of the mattress, and I got a firmer side of the mattress. It's pretty cool. We took the quiz together. It was romantic.
And then you Eskimo kissed at the end.
That's enough. That's absolutely uncouth. Leave my fiance out of this.
I didn't say anything about her. You said you brought her up.
You brought up the Eskimo kiss.
That's fine. That's cute.
No, it's not.
It's friend.
fuck is that supposed to be?
So whether you're a side sleeper, hot sleeper, or like a plush or firm bed, with Helix, there's no more guessing or confusion. All you got to do is go to helixsleep.com/ifiwereyou, take the 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life.
Guaranteed.
If you want that extra sauce, right now Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders.
That is a huge deal.
You can get up to $125 off at helixsleep.com/ifiwereyou. That's helixsleep.com/ifiwereyou for $125 off your mattress order.
Love that.
Love that too. helixsleep.com/ifiwereyou. Thanks, Helix.
Later.
And we're back. Sean, do you have any?
Oh, it's a lesson in the fight.
God, I love that.
Yeah. The mom I'm coming sounds extra prescient now because we talked about how my parents saw my dick so much as a child.
But I feel like you talk about that every show.
All right, unsolicited advice. People didn't necessarily ask for this, but what do you have to offer us?
My unsolicited advice would be to try to wean yourself off of deodorant.
Wean yourself off of deodorant.
Start just not wearing it a few days a week.
Okay.
And see how it goes.
Yeah.
And then just stop completely if it's working well.
Is it Is it something that anybody can do, or like just the least sweaty 10% of us?
Most of us, I think, can do it.
Really?
We just don't know.
So you think deodorant is causing people to smell worse, and if you just didn't do it, you would naturally smell better?
And some of us don't smell very bad.
I see.
Well, you look like a guy that just has a natural musk.
Yeah. Elon Musk.
Yeah, dude. I need deodorant. Trust me.
Have you tried it?
No, but like sometimes when I travel or like when I – sometimes I forget to put it on. And after a few days, like I know that I
– How often do you shower?
Oh.
Once a week?
I guess it's usually when I don't shower that I smell. So if I showered every day – Do you think I don't need deodorant?
It's possible.
So I see. So you're showering more, deodorizing less.
Yes.
Are you completely off?
Yeah.
Interesting. Has anybody commented on your BO?
No.
Ever?
No.
Wow. And have you ever, did you have BO more when you were using deodorant?
No.
So you
didn't have it then either.
Are there health benefits to this, or it's just like a purely convenient thing?
Is this like a foreskin situation, or should I not smell?
Yeah, you
like
just don't
dangerous?
Need it.
What you don't know.
What
may
are the
hurt
benefits
you?
To not wearing deodorant aside from just not having anything?
You don't
about
have to
it.
Buy it. That's one.
That's huge.
There is mercury in deodorant, the antiperspirant stuff, which is not very good for you.
Got it.
That's about it.
I mean,
that's as far as
I'm
I.
Sold
that's
on
as long
on
as I
on the mercury thing alone, that's pretty good. But I. Sometimes I get like compliments on how I smell when all I'm doing is wearing deodorant. Like people like the way my deodorant smells.
I guarantee it. Oh yeah, that's true. Like a lot of people's smell, sense of smell worth, I should say, comes from the fact that they wear a specific kind of deodorant or cologne. Are you anti-cologne?
I don't wear cologne either, no.
See, you're just natural.
Yep.
100%.
Yeah, well, I'm...
I mean, I bathe myself in Axe, obviously.
Right.
I Axe
bomb my own room.
I'll spray myself down once a year, and that sort of holds throughout the entire rest of the calendar.
I'll rub pine needles all over my nuts.
What?
I just
have a constant sprinkler of Axe on my clothes.
Oh, that's cool.
In my closet.
That's really
just
fun.
All day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'll try it, but... I'm a little not 100% convinced, but I don't think I'm that sweaty of a guy either. But I do occasionally, you start to smell me. Yeah, I don't know.
But I think that's right. Like, it happens when you don't shower. Like,
yes.
If I shower, I'm fresh for at least 24.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's a fact.
Believe that. Are you doing a daily shower?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Maybe twice a day.
Really?
In Hawaii, it was twice a day for sure.
Because of the humidity.
San Francisco, not so much because...
But San Fran is like
69
30.
Degrees every day. So
yeah,
no, I shower every day. That's why I don't think I do need deodorant. I'm curious. I'm definitely curious.
Go every other day.
Okay.
Start with your wedding day.
That's right.
As a non day.
Well, I'll probably be sweating that day because
I'll be in a suit.
So I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna wear deodorant that day.
Okay. All right.
And the fanny pack, by the way.
A fanny pack with a suit.
Tuxedo and fanny pack. You don't need a cummerbund.
As long as it's a long sleeve, long pants suit, you can wear a fanny pack with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to another question, perhaps. This one is not about deodorant, but it's kind of funny. This one's from a lady. Do you have a lady's name?
Mary Carey.
Mary Carey.
Mary Carey.
Any relation to Kyle Kyle?
Why? Would there be?
Well, their names rhyme. I'm a freshman in college, and I've run into a self-induced sticky situation. My boyfriend of 2 years and I were having some bedside conversation after some rather vigorous intercourse, and the topic of cheating came up. Excuse me?
Oh, God.
Somehow, some way, the thought of asking him if I could slash his tires if he were to ever cheat on me arose. I said it in a joking manner at first, thinking that he would just effortlessly agree, because I mean this pussy bomb. But he kept questioning me. Because I mean this pussy bomb. Does that
She's
make sense
She's saying,
because
like, I mean this pussy bomb.
Oh, like, he's not gonna cheat on me. I see. Because I mean this, that's correct, this pussy bomb. But he kept questioning me. This then seemingly innocent conversation turned into an argument as I stood my ground and he stood his. My side of the argument was that if he were to never cheat on me, then why does it matter if he hypothetically gave me permission to slash his tires? His argument was that I was just being ridiculous. This heated conversation has been replaying in my head for days now. What does this mean? Is my pussy not as bomb as I think? Does him not agreeing to let me slash his tires if he were to cheat on me mean that he's been thinking of cheating on me? Am I crazy or am I just overthinking it? Do I have the right to be so angry? Wouldn't you just agree to my hypothetical scenario if you were in his position? What would you do? Thanks in advance. P.S. Saw you in San Francisco. Come back. Hey, shout out to San Fran.
Hit me up. Slide in my DMs. No. That pussy is bomb.
What is it? What's her name?
Mary Carey.
Mary Carey.
Mary Carey.
Yeah, this is a real humdinger. Why didn't he just agree to just letting her do that?
Yeah, this is one of those questions where I agree with, like, I just, like, go back and forth on who I agree with. Because I would probably just say, yeah, of course you can slash my tires. But... Yeah. On the other hand, like, this guy's like, no, I don't want to give you permission to destroy my property. Yeah.
Regardless of what I do to you. Or...
You can break up with me. That'll be pretty bad. But you can't deface my car.
Yeah. It's kind of a weird line to stand as a hypothetical because, like, ideally it'll never come up. And if it does, your relationship is over. And then, like, you don't want this weird thing hanging over you of, like, well, I did say that she could do it if I did do it.
But, I mean, like... You can still get in trouble with the law. You can't be like, officer, he told me one time in bed that I could slash his tires.
Yeah, I don't know. Sean, what are your impressions?
Is this their normal post-coitus conversation?
Yeah, it's just about worst case scenario. Yeah. What would you rather?
Yeah, Sean has a problem with the communication and all of these.
It's just poor. I mean, I probably would just say, sure, slash my tires.
Yeah, because like you
if she's getting this worked up about it.
Also, being in a relationship is sort of an implicit agreement that you won't cheat on me.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you can also. But would you say you can kill me if I cheat on you?
Yeah, I guess so. But I think that like the foundation of a good relationship, the foundation of a good relationship is like, I'm not going to cheat on you because I respect you, not because I think you'll harm
my car.
It's just
don't care about too much either. Yeah. So
don't do anything to my sedan.
It's a lose-lose, really. Because like, regardless of what you say, you're not happy with the outcome. These questions really...
I only have one spare.
Would you hypothetically let me slash your tires? That's so funny. But now that, let's say, the guy did this in the female's position, would you get mad? Would it be weird if he wouldn't?
If he wouldn't...
If he wouldn't what?
Let her hypothetically, if he's like, no, you can't slash my tires. Is that something worth getting mad about?
No. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't really know where she's getting off on.
I think I probably would have just handled the argument a little differently if she was like, if I was like, if you cheat on me, I'll slash your tires. And they're like, ha, no, you won't. And I'd be like, okay, well, then I'll break up with you. Or like, then I'll fuck my ex. And then the boyfriend would be like, okay, don't.
This is when like the hypothetical situations get too real though. Cause it's like, all right, if you slash my tires, then I'll sleep with your friends. It's like, no, don't sleep with my friends cause I'll do this. And then suddenly you guys are like yelling at each other.
Then you suddenly just like both roll out of the bed, either direction to go fuck with the other
person. She grabs a fucking kitchen knife and sprints down the street.
He's frantically texting his girlfriend's friend.
Please,
Sheila!
I need to slide into your DM ASAP. Fuck! Do I have the right to be angry? That's like a more of a philosophical question. I think you always have the right to be angry. But I don't necessarily agree with what you're being angry about.
Yeah,
so you have the right to be angry on anything, really.
But does your boyfriend have the right to not understand or commiserate with your anger?
It's a weird line to cross, or it's a weird like way to set your foot down if you're the boyfriend. It's like, I won't let you do this regardless of what I do. I'm a man of principle.
I think it also matters, though, if this is like in character for your boyfriend. Like, I can imagine having this argument with you, and you would stand your ground on, like, a hypothetical situation where, like, logic is involved.
Yeah.
Whereas I would just lie and be like, yeah, you're slashing tires. And it's funny because then I'm also more likely to cheat on somebody than you are.
Yeah, so like, it doesn't really... Being honest might be a good thing if you want to spin it that way.
That's true.
It's like, you can't slash my tires because I'm a man of principle and honesty, and I won't cheat on you. I think
what it all comes down to is that this conversation, like, whether or not he agrees to let you slash the tires means nothing. He could still cheat on you either way.
But is he less likely to do so by saying, no, you can't slash my tires? Or is he more likely?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not
because
at all.
You can always just say, yeah.
If he's going to do it, he's going to do it for sure.
Right. But if he's going to do it, maybe he's the kind of guy that's like, yeah, you can slash my tires, baby. You're never going to find out. Rather than like, no, don't slash my tires because I'm not going to cheat on you.
That's why this conversation is absolutely pointless in every way.
You should let go of whatever anger you have. And just like try to use other context clues to see if he's cheating on you.
Yeah.
All right. One last question from a lady. Let's get another lady's name, rhyming or not.
Let's go with Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to rhyme then, right?
Elizabeth? Elizabeth?
Nice.
The third.
Three Elizabeths and the third. Right. I started hooking up with this guy who's into choking me. I liked it, but I'm concerned that it could cause problems. I know a lot of people do it. I'm just worried about long-term effects. Do either of you guys have experience in this? If it's not safe, how do I tell him not to do it anymore? Thanks for the advice. Love, Elizabeth. Elizabeth III. Sean, you're a nurse? Is it safe?
You also had a positive reaction when you heard choking.
I'm a nurse and a choker.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, you can just say you don't like it.
Yeah, that's true.
That happens.
Yeah, and that's fine.
That's definitely fine. Also, how hard is this guy choking? Because there are different ways of choking.
Yeah.
You can't do just straight forward on the windpipe. That's not a good choke. It's more of around the neck.
I see. So it's more of like a neck muscle squeeze rather than like cutting off air to the brain?
It's a hug. I've been known to choke.
I've been known to hug somebody's neck before.
Well, she said she liked it. She's just worried about long-term effects. Are there any of those? I'm not a nurse. I don't know.
Unless he, like, passes out.
Unless he's bruising her every time.
Yeah.
Then she's going to be fine. Or passing out.
Yeah.
That's not good. Don't let him make you pass out.
Did you guys have that, like, phase in your elementary school where, like, kids were passing out on purpose?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where it's like those kids always ended up doing drugs.
What was that one where, like, you could, like, hold somebody against a wall a certain way?
Yeah, that was it, like, on their windpipe. And then they would pass out. And it was like, that was a game.
Yeah, I never did that. I was too much of a pussy.
And my dad was like, yeah, you can die from that. Like, yeah. Oh, you should let these fucking 12-year-olds know because they're all doing it.
That's the
first gateway drug.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the original gateway drug. True.
Those kids are like, yeah, I'll try marijuana. It's probably safer than cutting the oxygen off of my brain.
Do you ever think of like what we're going to be warning our kids? Like what's going to be the thing when we have a 12-year-old?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What is like, hey, don't let your friends make
swallow,
you pass out.
Or like
don't
swallow a tennis ball and try to cough it up.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's going to be some sort of like digital thing that we don't know about yet.
Oh, that's cool. Like an app that fucking blinds you by accident or something.
Or like some like hologram fucking.
Yeah, that's really cool actually. Actually, let me give that a whirl. Why don't you bring your hologram in here?
Let your old man give it a shot. I'll show you how it's done, fucker.
You know, I used to make your mom come pretty adequately.
I moved away 10 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Where's the hologram though? Help! So you have experience in this. It's always fair to ask, and it's always fair to say no.
Absolutely.
Worried about the long-term effects? Probably no long-term effects.
No.
Yeah, unless he's actually making people pass out, which is...
Or bruising
that's like
her
more
neck.
Of a strangle. I think the difference between a strangle and a choke is one is like squeezing of the neck muscles, the other one is
that's
cutting
nice
off oxygen.
Linguistically, I like that.
Yeah.
A strangle is like that one doesn't sound sexy at all.
No. I want you to strangle me.
Yeah, no.
That's like the autoerotic asphyxiation.
People wear chokers, you know? Like there's something to it's like that's like those are sexy.
Yeah, but
they don't wear a strangler.
That's right, which is like a leather belt tied so tight around your neck that you're just turning purple throughout the day. Although, would that be cool like a fanny pack?
Have you ever
like
choked
a fucking,
somebody?
A male? I've done my fair of choking, squeezing. I'd like to call it squeezing. Choking is also like
that sounds right.
Yeah, squeezing.
Yeah.
What's it called? Like neckle and the adjective of neck, neckle choking, neckle squeezing is what I like to call it rather than choking.
I hope you don't call it that during sex. Do you mind if we engage in neckle squeezing?
Can we neckle squeeze?
Could I hug your neck with my hand?
Never mind, I'm coming.
I came before I asked the question.
I came thinking about asking.
It was the word neckle.
But permission gets me up.
All right, Sean, that was a hit. I think it was a success.
Do you have anything to plug?
What do you have to promote?
Just my Instagram. That's it. All slide into my DMs, please. It's, San Francisco.
It's fun to have a friend on that's not a fucking comedian who's looking to talk about their projects. That way we can shine.
Yeah.
But your Instagram, you're traveling all over the place. So if you want to see some awesome photos of Sean traveling, it's...
Yeah, we didn't even talk about you. You're a world traveler. But yep. Go explore Sean's Instagram and you shall see.
What is it again?
Sean.
That's right.
_
Of course.
Voyage.
Yep.
Sean first. Voyage.
The first. One.
I'm sure once you guys start searching, it'll pop up pretty highly. Sean _ Voyage 1.
S-E-A-N.
That's right.
Correct.
Opening theme song was written by Doug. Closing one, Silvana, who did this a cappella type song for us.
Ooh, I love a cappella.
If you have your
I'm
own,
ready for this.
If you have your own theme songs or your own questions, send them on down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week. Bye.
Get you late, I promise you.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.